White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 367.
Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone.
Now everybody. Come on everybody.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, yo, yo.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com. and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network, and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, via Patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, we have to do it one more time before it fades into the distance, because it was very successful. This past week was...
Liberty Hate Week 2018.
And I would say Liberty probably hates us now. It was successful because we carpet bombed them.
It was a successful use of the Liberty Hate Week slogan and sound effect.
I think that takes most of the credit.
I think it made all the difference.
I think it wasn't our third down offense that made the difference. John, we had one first down. We had one third down conversion against Liberty until very, very, very late in the game.
We also had like 25 first downs in the game, so it wasn't like that we were going three and out every time.
Well,
we converted a lot of first downs on first and second down.
And that's true, and so therefore the statistic should be like we had two third down conversions out of, you know, four, but no, it was like two out of 17.
No, it's not good.
No, it's Liberty. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat the fact that our third down offense has just not been good this year.
No, but we did just beat a team 53-0. So, you know,
there were a lot
of other good things in the game.
It's like when we were at the Arkansas game. I mean, all phases of the game looked good, but the offense still had issues. What we have this year, I don't think there's any doubt about it. What we have this year is a team that can blow doors on B, C, D, E, F level teams. But against another A level team, all of our flaws are exposed all at the same time.
Yes.
I mean, we have a team that can be very, very, very good if you can't. If you can't get penetration on this offensive line, then yeah, we're a juggernaut. If you can't put too much pressure on Stidham, then yeah, we're a juggernaut. If you can't cover our receivers and our limited passing attack, then yeah, we're awesome. If you can't stop us until Carlson is kicking a 30-yard field goal, then we're awesome. But if you can do any of those things, we're a lot less formidable. And there are teams, you know, the teams at our level are able to do those things to us. So, you know, we're a team that looks very, very good until it goes up against equal competition, and then it looks very anemic in a lot of ways.
Well, but you're leaping ahead to the bad side of the Liberty game, and I want to take a minute to talk about the good side of the Liberty game.
Absolutely.
This team, after the season we've had, you know, coming off that Georgia game,
yeah,
could have slept walk through this game, half-assed through this game.
They could have.
And on senior day in the last home game, they didn't. They came out and played really hard. And there wasn't any doubt about it watching the game. Like, they we played hard and they coached hard. Like, they were making adjustments on defense during the game. And took away what Liberty was trying to do. And I was happy for the seniors that it went the way it did.
in a way, I'm really excited that they played that hard and were that excited to win. In another way, though, I almost feel like I should be concerned that they were that excited about beating Liberty. I mean, it's another win. It gets us to 7 and everything, but I just feel like you shouldn't, I don't know, should you be that happy and excited?
Here, don't think about it like, oh, it's Liberty. This is the people that were unhappy that we beat Texas A&M or whatever.
No, I don't mean it that way.
Well, but I mean, that's how it comes across. And to me, I think of it this way, okay? To the other players on the team, this was the day about the seniors and a day to kind of honor them for all their hard work and service to the program, all the good things they've done at Auburn. And those guys have done a good job, playing hard, and not just seniors, but guys who are going to be, heading off down the road to the NFL after this year. And it was a day to honor those guys and kind of thank them for everything. And if you went out there and didn't try hard and didn't do your all to win the game, then you were kind of, telling them how you felt about them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think it was much more of internal, like, we want to go out and play well for those guys and let them have a day to shine in front of the home fans and do some stuff and have fun playing football. Again, fun, unpaid college athletes playing a sport. So I don't have any problem with that. I mean, they wanted to have a day in front of their families where they could go out and make plays and have fun and win a game. And it's tough after getting your brains beat in national TV in Athens and getting a lot of people got to play. We got to see a lot of young guys. So it was a good thing.
No, I don't disagree. But I honestly, I think that equating somebody saying they wish we'd lose a game to get the coach fired with me saying I don't think we should be that excited about beating Liberty is possibly the most ridiculous thing that's ever been said on this show. I mean,
I'm not saying that.
I'm not remotely saying I wish we'd lost to somebody. I'm just saying I didn't feel like it was as impressive of a win as it some people were acting like. And I just was surprised that they were that excited about it. I'm glad for them. Yay. I mean, gosh, I'd rather win than lose, and I'd rather win big than win small. But we didn't beat it wasn't beating LSU. It wasn't beating Georgia. And, I mean, it's expected. It's to be expected. I mean, that's just taking your lunch pail and going to work and hammering in some nails, and doing some welding and stuff. That's not, I seriously doubt at any point Rod was screaming, oh my God, unless it was an individual effort play, and there were certainly some. I mean, let's talk about that. I thought Seth Williams had a game.
He had an excellent game. He is a real playmaker, and they focused on getting him the ball a lot more.
About time. No kidding.
I mean, Darryl Williams had the big interception return for a touchdown. Jordan Peters had the big block punt.
Aren't you happy it was him and not like some DB? Don't you just love seeing a big, heavy run-stopping linebacker even be the one to intercept a ball, act like he doesn't even quite know what it is or what he's supposed to do with it, and then rumble and outrun the offense into the end zone? I mean, those are the best. Those are just always the best. Because they honestly, when they say act like you've been there before, they've never been there before.
That's exactly right.
Right. They have a right to act like they haven't been there before. I'm not saying he did, but I'm just saying he could have. He could have gotten very excited because he hasn't been there before. As far as I know, he hasn't.
He's a senior. That was his last home game. He'd never scored before.
That's beautiful. Absolutely. Somebody made an interesting point. They're talking about the receivers that, we've talked before about our recruiting classes being so good and you wonder what happens here. And somebody pointed out that the two starting big receivers on this team right now should be Kyle Davis and
Craig Myers.
Yeah, and neither one of them's even on the team anymore.
I had forgotten about Kyle Davis, honestly. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, Seth Williams is great, but we shouldn't be having to use our freshman wide receivers because we should have players that were much older than them that were entering into the cream of their, you know, of their performance now. And it just makes you wonder, I mean, dang, why do we keep losing? I mean, you know, again, somebody pointed out that of the 24 players in that 2016 recruiting class, like 12 of them are not even on the team anymore. So is it really a number, you know, 8 ranked recruiting class when half the players aren't even, you know, never even really got a chance to contribute?
It's fair.
It's just strange. I just don't understand our attrition. And we've said it before. I know that, you know, it's every individual has a different story. It's not one thing. It's not like, you know, 12 of them all got kicked off the team or something. But still, it is a cause for concern, I think, that we've lost so many of our important playmakers that made those recruiting classes, and they're just not there anymore. So, I don't know. What about Asa Martin? It's so funny how we've all been debating back and forth. Well, is it 4 games? Is it 5 games? Is it 4 games? Is it 5 games? And then here he comes out there, and you're like, well, doesn't matter now.
Well, I think Auburn probably asked. I don't have any inside knowledge. I suspect that Auburn asked somebody for an official ruling, and they said, yeah, he's played 5 games. And they're like, okay. So they're going to play him this week. He's not going to play against Alabama. And I think we saw a little bit in that game why maybe he hasn't played more. Like, he looked okay.
Yeah, I didn't think he looked bad.
I don't think he looked bad, but I don't think he looked like we should be starting him on Saturday either.
Well, who does look like that right now?
Well, no, I mean, fair, 100%.
I mean, you know, the only one is Booby, and he's obviously not 100%. So, I do think that Shivers looks better every week.
He does. He does. He's come along, you know, the last couple weeks, and he's getting more comfortable, I think. And they're getting more comfortable with him.
I tell you, he just eats a few more steaks in the off season and lifts a few more weights. He starts looking like Trey Mason instead of, you know, like little Lionel James. Sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm.
Sky's the limit. He gets him just a little more power, a little more bulk to go along with his shiftiness and his elusiveness and his speed and his quickness. Oh, man, I look for big things from him. I think we've got some running backs that can do big things in the future. I just feel like we need that one more between the tackles power guy to complement all these quick guys we've got. We're starting to get a little Terry Bowden heavy. And by Terry Bowden heavy, I mean Terry Bowden light heavy.
You got that right.
We need some
beef.
We're a little too the lizard and a little too little 2000.
Hey?
Drag the chains. We're a little too much 1999 and not enough 2000 is what I'm trying to say. Rudy Johnson. We need a Rudy Johnson out there. Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of running back we need on this team. I had to compliment the guys that we have.
Yes. Yeah, we're a little too much Rusty Williams and Markeith Cooper and not enough Rudy Johnson and Trey Mason is what we are right now. But but we can turn these guys. I mean, you know, you bulk, they're all freshmen. That's the thing. I mean, they're young. They got room to grow. The receivers and the running backs are all freshmen. It's crazy.
They do. I'd still like to. I mean, I want to get a heavier body type for at least one running back. I want to get one running back that weighs like 240 pounds who can.
And I feel like that needs to be a transfer because you're not going to get a true freshman come in and do that next year.
No, it needs to be a JUCO guy or a transfer. Somebody that we can give the ball on 3rd and 2 against a good defense.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, man, yeah. We need a big old big body. I mean, we need a Rudy Johnson. Honestly, I tell you right now, this team would have won at least 2 more games this year if we had a Rudy Johnson in the backfield to go along with everything we already have.
Oh, absolutely.
Anything else about the Liberty game? It was a big deal. Had D Ford come over, and that was all very exciting. Had a few other people in town as well, and had of course, we also had the Tammy Bullard tragedy, so it was kind of a triumph and tragedy, the good side and the bad side weekend in a way, wasn't it? It was quite a, You know, it's almost like these other things overshadowed the game itself in a way.
It's true. We had a new eagle.
Got a new eagle, yeah. We upgraded.
First time ever for that eagle. And we left a little early, apparently. So
we upgraded our eagle model. That's cool. Yeah, that's about it. So that was the last home game. It's hard to think of Liberty as the last home game of the year in a year we're going to – I mean, you know, for forever and ever, our last home game of the year would be either Georgia or Alabama. And it's just weird for it to be Liberty as the last home game, but not even a sellout, you know. So, oh well. The basketball team, quickly, that's big. I was trying to get the score. I just watched it. I had recorded it this afternoon, and I watched the whole thing this evening before dinner. Did you get to watch any of it?
So here's my story. I had to work today, and I was driving from one part of Virginia from a meeting to another part of Virginia to go to a different meeting, and it happened to fall in the time period where the game was. So I listened to the Auburn radio broadcast in the car.
Oh, cool. That's
while
kind
I was
of
driving.
A, that's kind of a neat thing. We don't get to do that much anymore. Yeah.
No, it was great to listen to Rod and Joe Champy describe the action. And here's the bad part. I pulled in at my meeting. I think that it was like exactly a 2-hour drive, but I pulled up and I had to get out of the car and go inside right as we went into overtime. So I did not know what happened for about 45 minutes until that part of the meeting was over and I could go take a break and walk outside and check my phone to see that we won. So,
oh, it was amazing. You got to catch the whole game. So we were up as much as what we were kind of in the lead by 9 the whole game, and at one point 12, but it was pretty much 9 the whole game. And then with like 3 or 4 minutes to go, Xavier started coming back and coming back and coming back, and then right in the last minute they were able to tie it, which I was just like, I was just sick, because that's like we led there were only 2 times in the entire game that we were not leading, and that's when it was 0-0 and it was 77-77. Those were the only 2 times in the game we didn't lead, as far as I know.
They led at one point, but it was real early in the first half. It was like 17-16 or 16-15 or something. But it was like for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, for like 30 seconds. Because after that, every time that they would – this was what was so exciting to me. Every time Xavier started to – and it was cool to get to play the School for Gifted Youngsters. I'm glad that Professor X, you know, lets them play basketball. But every time that they would start to close in and get within 3, get within 1, we would do a defensive stop and go back and hit a shot the other way and extend the lead a little bit. And I thought our defense in this game was spectacular.
Yes.
I mean, I know they scored 77 overall, and a lot of that was toward the end. They just caught on fire. In the last 5 minutes of the game, they couldn't miss 3-pointers. But in the first half particularly, we had them below 20 points for like 15 minutes. That game was like 7-4 Auburn for like 5 minutes of the game. It was long stretches where they weren't stopping us. We were just missing shots. We were doing that, you know, we had that thing that we do that drives me crazy, where we'll go long stretches of the game where we'll do a great defensive stop, get the ball, they'll throw it to Bryce Brown, and he'll just immediately chuck a long 3-pointer. And you're like, hold the ball, find a play. We've got Wiley. We've got our big men back, you know. We've got other options. I love Bryce Brown. I love Bryce Brown. I love when he hits those 3-pointers. I love it. But he gets into these streaks where he just chucks it as soon as it comes across midcourt, and he misses. And we'll go possession after possession with him just chucking it up there and missing, and then we're not even positioned to get the rebound yet for that. So we never even get an offensive rebound on it. So that kind of annoys me when that happens. But the
quick 3-pointer sometimes with no passing drives me bonkers.
Yeah. So. I'm saying he does it even before we're set up to rebound.
Well, and, I mean, Harper does it too.
Yeah, but Harper seems to have a better shot selection when he does it. And he seems to hit it more often, it seems like to me.
And you made an important point, though, that the defense was huge today, and that it wasn't this playing like old school defense, stopping them from scoring. It was using the defense to generate offense and create turnovers and easy shots.
Absolutely. And I thought Jared Harper was a player of the game because at the end, have you seen the highlights? I know you heard it.
Yeah, I've seen the highlights, and I went and watched overtime since I got home.
Oh my gosh, the first time it was back to back possessions, right? The first one he just drove on like 3 7-foot tall guys and dunked on them, which was the play of the game. And then on the next possession, he did almost the same thing, except he just kind of drifted it up in the air and let it fall through the hole. Mm-hmm. And so he had back-to-back possessions where he just took it straight to the hole and scored in two different ways. And that was as exciting as anything the football team did, honestly, to me this week. So that was really awesome. So when do we play Duke? Is it tomorrow or?
We play Duke tomorrow to Tuesday night.
It's 7 o'clock.
I think it's 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central.
Okay. I remembered it was 7. I just couldn't remember my time. I just couldn't remember if it was tomorrow or the next day. So they go day after day. They don't take a day off.
Yeah, and no, this is a very quick tournament. And if we win, we'll play again on Wednesday.
Oh, my gosh.
Win or lose, we'll play again on Wednesday.
But at least it's at 7 o'clock at night, so we'll get to see it, and it won't be like today where everybody was trying to get their work in before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
This was a bad day to have a daytime tournament for most people.
It was. Two more things about this. One, mm-hmm. Do not overlook how big – I mean, we're all excited about playing Duke now, but do not overlook how big it is that Auburn and Xavier played this game. And Xavier was ready to play. They were focused, yes, and they were prepared, and that was a good team. It went back and forth with them. Here's Xavier the last few years, okay? Mm-hmm. NCAA second round, NCAA Elite Eight, NCAA second round, NCAA Sweet 16 – okay, that's the last 4 years for that team.
Wow.
And we just beat them in overtime in that tournament. So, that was a team that is a legitimate NCAA tournament caliber team, and we beat them.
Yeah.
So that's going to be huge by itself. And secondly, it's like I can't tell you how excited I am that we're playing Duke. I mean, I know we're an underdog. They got three guys that are going to be top 10 draft picks. When I think about playing Duke, I flash back to when LSU went and played Duke and Cameron, when Shaquille O'Neal and Stanley Roberts and Chris Jackson were there. Christian Laettner was on Duke, and I was all excited. I was like, yeah, they're going to kick Duke's ass. And Duke absolutely beat the snot out of them. It was like – but it was because Dale Brown was the LSU coach, and he was more of like, just roll the ball out there, and y'all run around and make stuff happen. And so they got their pants pulled down coaching-wise in that game.
Yeah.
But it was like 90-60 or something. We're going to be much better prepared and much better coached than that. But they're a very good team, and this will be a real measuring stick for us. And, we think Auburn is a team that could do it. But win or lose, like the Xavier game today was big. So
this had the feel to me of one of our second round NCAA tournament games of yesteryear when we go up against a pretty darn good team. Like, you beat a more beatable team in the first round, and you get to the second round, you're up against like a Xavier, and it goes to overtime, and you scratch and claw, and you pull out a good win. Playing Duke tomorrow feels like when we used to end up playing like Louisville or Indiana in the Elite Eight. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Or something like that. So this was like when we played UNLV or St. John's. Tomorrow is like when we played Louisville or freaking Indiana or Oklahoma when that year that they were so good. So, but tomorrow,
certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
They're going to be on TV tomorrow. I hate that. I was just sitting there thinking, we're playing Duke, so of course we go to overtime, and get exhausted. But oh well, at least we got the win. So let's see what else is going on. I guess there's a little football game coming up on Saturday. We almost forgot about that. The season's not over. We do have to actually show up and play a game on Saturday. So who are we playing again? I can't even remember.
We're playing Alabama in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, dear Lord.
This is the part where I have to talk about how we can win the game.
Well, I think our best bet is to
smoke weed every day.
Wait, that's not the
one. We've been doing this podcast for years, and we were writing on the War Eagle Reader before that.
Yep.
And so I'm, been doing this routine a long time.
We have.
Here's what we have to do to beat Alabama. Yes. And I have to tell, like last year, I was genuinely confident that we were going to beat that team.
Oh, yeah.
I really felt it. I honestly, I'm not sure that the two teams are the way they are right now, everybody stays healthy, that we can win the game on Saturday. And I don't want anybody to get hurt ever. But really Auburn's best chance to win is like if Tua sprains his ankle getting off the bus and doesn't play.
And like three other players trip over him and also.
No, I mean, like if that happens, then we're back to like, again, we're back to them at last year and then we have a shot.
Right.
It's, you know, he's the difference maker.
Well, what did the Citadel game do for you?
Nothing. I mean, we're not going to run the triple option and it doesn't matter.
I know. I'm like, oh, we see what to do to, oh crap, we can't do that.
Well,
we don't have that option that they have of a running game. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, that's so like our offense against their defense early in the year, their defense I thought was pretty vulnerable. They've tightened up a lot in the last month and a half. And they're really good now. I mean, Quinnen Williams is probably the best defensive lineman in the SEC right now. They have, you know, an excellent safety. And, you know, their coverage has gotten a lot better than it was early in the season. I think you can still throw the ball on them, but not the kind of dink and dunk and screen passes and stuff that we like that we did against Georgia.
Right.
See, I mean, if you're think about it this way. You're a defensive coordinator and you're playing this Auburn team. What are you going to try to take away? What are you going to focus on taking away the screen passes and the short stuff to Ryan Davis and stuff. That's your game plan because you feel like they play regular defense. They can stop us running the ball. Mm-hmm. And so that you're going to spend your extra time and effort and shift your guys more towards taking away the short passes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Auburn has to be prepared for that. And to me, like we have to try to throw the ball over their heads. Even if it's unsuccessful, even if Stidham gets buried, I know last year in this game he ran the ball some, and I think we're going to have to do some of that. I think we're going to have to do some kind of read option stuff where he keeps the ball occasionally, and he's going to take some hits that way. But I think the other thing is we have to be prepared to throw the ball over their heads. The problem is we have purposely not talked about Alabama on the show during the course of the year because we don't like Alabama and, we hate Alabama, mm-hmm. but also because this particular Alabama team is really good.
Yes, they are.
And it's kind of scary to play them as an opponent. Like Tua is really the best quarterback they've ever had, and it's not close.
Not even close. They've never had great quarterback play. They've always had adequate, serviceable quarterback play.
In the Nick Saban era, they've had a bunch of solid, dependable mm-hmm. players. But, I mean, they've had, you know, they had Stabler and Richard Todd and those other guys who were really good players in the past. I for the time period.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tua's accuracy is really impressive. And they have a bunch of excellent receivers with him. They have like five guys that are averaging like 19 to 20 yards a catch. Their tight end, Irv Smith, is a real problem. And we're going to have real problems covering that guy. You know, he is a real weapon at tight end. He's not like the Nauta guy. They're just going to throw it to him once a game. And this guy is a regular part of, I think he's their second leading receiver. So I think, you know, our defensive backs are going to have to do a great job tackling. Like when they, I think, you know, we're going to have to be prepared for them to get the, you know, he's going to hit them with the ball in the right place, so we're going to have to be prepared to just tackle the guy as soon as he gets it and not let them turn, you know, the 20-yard pass into the 70-yard pass. So I think that's a big thing. And then the other thing is we have, you know, Auburn's run defense has gotten kind of worse over the last few weeks.
It has.
Our starting run Mississippi fits State. And we have got to play a lot better at just that kind of basic stuff, lining up and playing the run. We can't, their running backs again are excellent. And so if we get misaligned, the guys are going to break through and get 30 yards. So we had to be prepared to be in the right place at the right time. I mean, Mississippi State played really well against them, and they lost 29-0.
Yep.
You know, and LSU played really well against them in Baton Rouge and lost 24-0. In the Mississippi State game, they ran Tua, I don't know, five times, and he took a lot of hits. And I mean, I've said this before in this show, like, Nick Saban is a great coach, but sometimes he does stuff that is really stupid. And it could literally, like, could cost them the national title if he gets hurt against Citadel or Mississippi State or Auburn on a stupid run play. And it, to me, it's the same thing as, like, you know, in 2010, they had Julio Jones return the kickoff at the start of the second half, and he got hurt. And he didn't play the second half of that game because they wanted, they were like, oh, we got him to go use him on kickoff returns. And it was stupid. We didn't have anybody that could cover that guy. We couldn't have covered him with three people. But, you know, they, so it's, to me, Tua running is the same thing as that. It's unnecessary, and it's, you're risking the bigger thing. So they are terrible on special teams. You know, the best case scenario for Auburn is force them to kick field goals. Like, I'm not sure we can do that, but if we can, they are bad at it. They're really good at punt, you know, at punt returns, at kick returns, but they're bad. Like, they're even bad at kicking extra points.
Yeah.
So,
well, the frustrating thing is that there are a few things we do well, and in some of those years where we shock them or even play them close when we shouldn't, it's in years where the few things that we happen to do well that year kind of match up well with their weaknesses, but I'm not sure that's the case this year.
It's not.
Because if we can run the ball, you know, but we can't.
Well, but the other part is, like, this Alabama team is beatable, but you're going to have to score some points to beat them. And I'm not sure we can score 35 points against a good team.
I was just about, that's funny you should say that. I was just about to ask you if we score in this game. Because, you know, if they shut out LSU, yes, and shut out Mississippi State, they're going to want to shut us out.
100% we're going to score in this game.
Okay. I'm not sure about that.
So, you know, stuff happens. Football's weird. The ball bounces weird. The weather's terrible. You know, maybe Tua has one really bad day and throws five interceptions or something, and Stidham is, you know, is the golden quarterback for the day.
We could
be a thing where we, you know, again, we hold them to field goal attempts. They miss them. We block some kicks. We blocked field goals and blocked punts this year. We could do that against them and have a huge special teams day and even it up that way, too.
That's true. Did you, you know, when we were watching the Citadel game, I wasn't watching it. And a friend of mine texted me and said it's 10-10 at the half. And I was about, my mouth was hanging open. And I went and looked and saw it was indeed 10-10 at the half. And I texted him back and said it's going to end 50-10 Alabama. And I was mad at the end of the game that they let Citadel score another touchdown because it was 50-17. They did exactly what I said, 50. And but Citadel scored a touchdown somewhere in there. So, yeah, I feel like we have a chance in this game to score. In the first quarter, maybe, but after halftime, we don't adjust, you know, and so as soon as they adjust to whatever thing we come up with that's clever, we're toast.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that we had a really good game plan for Alabama last year in that game.
Yeah.
So you hope that they've been stockpiling offensive stuff all year, like they did last year.
Yeah.
And pull some of that stuff out. So I am 100% sure that that stuff is there. Whether this team can execute it against that defense, I don't know. But my other thing is, like, if you're a big underdog and we're on the road, we're playing them, why, you know, my thing is, like, why be conservative? If you lose, like, this is the thing about, like, if we lose 40-3 or 28-10, does it matter to you?
No, I mean,
so my thing is, like, great. If we win the toss and we defer to the second half, onside kick to start the game.
Yeah.
take a possession away from them. Whatever, fake punt, that kind of stuff. We're gonna have to do that kind of stuff to win.
We haven't onside kicked in a long time.
That's what I'm saying. So we're gonna have to take chances to win because their offense is so much better than ours. So you can't just roll up in there and, you know, run the base offense and expect that we're going to stop them and we're going to score 40 points and beat them. We're going to have to take chances to win the ball game. So take some chances, do it. I mean, my thing is like, there is no reason not to.
I almost wish that just for this game alone, we could get Chizik to come in and be honorary head coach, and he would actually do things like, mm-hmm. onside kicks and stuff, all that fun stuff we did in 2009 that kept us in that game until the very last minute.
That's it. Get the 2009 game plan off the shelf and pull it back out and just do it.
Man.
They should show that video to this team.
I was going to say, I was just about to say I may go and watch. Well, but so we still lost that game, though. I may just watch last year's game on Saturday instead of watching this year's game. I'm sorry, I just don't have a high level of confidence that not that we can win, but that we – it's even worth, I don't know. I mean, it's just because, again, it'd be with anybody. Who is going to beat them? I mean, there's barely a handful of teams in the country that could even hang with this Alabama team this year at all. And they're not going to run into them until starting next week with Georgia, maybe, and then with whoever they get in the semifinals or whoever they get in the finals. And so, you know, they'll have three chances to lose, but I just don't feel like Saturday's one of those three chances.
We have a chance, but it's like a 10% chance.
Yeah. Let me take this opportunity to thank our patrons, as always. You know, I wanted to point out that we've I'm getting ready to renovate and revamp the Patreon page to more accurately reflect the wants and desires and how people actually kind of use our products, because, you know, when I first created it, I had a vision of certain things that people would want. And after, you know, several months of it now, I got a better sense of what people are actually really enjoying, what they want and all that. Mainly what they want is us to keep doing our show every week, and I think, and do our special shows like the We Believe show. And so I'm going to try to, as well as all the little add-on things we do, like the power poll, and we're going to do we just decided today, in fact, right, that we're going to do our AU Wishbone Awards in I guess, January, like we've been doing for several years. And this year we'll have, like, the patrons get to vote on what they, you know, who they want to win each category. So if you're a patron, in the next few days we'll be sending out, well, I guess after the season is over, we'll be sending out to whoever's a patron at that time. John will be sending out a survey so that you can vote on the various AU Wishbone Awards. The patrons can vote. So that's just one more thing. So again, I've given it some months, and I've got a sense now of the things people want, what the patrons want, and what they're not as interested in. And so I'm going to go in. It's not going to be a bad thing. It's going to be a good thing, because I'm going to emphasize to you, the patrons, and to future patrons that are, you know, prospective patrons, what you'll probably be happy to know you can get. So that'll include, you know, things like We Believe the miniseries. I gave away free books, the power poll, just a bunch of stuff that's not really listed on that site. So I'm going to go ahead and thank our patrons, as always, for helping keeping us on the air. And let's see, we've had a few new ones this week. We're constantly losing one or two or three and constantly gaining one or two or three, so it kind of keeps an equilibrium. So we definitely need new patrons, because people kind of, you know, for whatever reason or other, they can't do it anymore, or they move on to other things or whatever. We understand that, but we need new people to come in and take their place. Got to thank Brendan O'Dwyer, of course, and then Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, Joseph Fine, Brandon Sisson, Christopher Brock, and Phil Amthor. And by the way, my apologies, I missed Samuel Salvatore a couple of few weeks there, just through an administrative mix-up with Patreon, but we've got him squared away now. And then Susan Trawick, Ben Spooner, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Justin Bean, Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens, Reynolds Wolf, Joshua Corbett, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Clay Henson, Auburn Tiger Talk, Ann Kangian, Catherine England, George Gaston, Will Summerford, John McCune, Tom Anderson, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, Jared Albrecht, William Glenn Matthews, Joel Beckham, Shannon Butson, Taylor, David Hegler, Mickey B, Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Matt Robinheimer, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, Tony Perry, Alex Nguyen, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, C.T. Wayne, Dave Powell, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Ronald McCullum, Chris Camo, Darren Pyle, Chris, Ward Amway, Jason Albrecht, Randall Walker, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Britt Rains, Nicholas Craig, Russell Milling, Matthew Wagstaff, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, Dave Medina, Spanky, Brant Rumble, J.W. Rice, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, and our one-time donors, including Surfer Chickify and others. And by the way, just like Samuel did, which was awesome. If you were one of our regulars on Twitter, then just send John, and we're missing you. We're not calling you out when we do this. Then it's certainly not on purpose. So just send us a message. If you're not on Twitter, just drop us an email at auwishbone@gmail.com and just let us know that we've somehow lost you, and we will get you back on there immediately. Okay, so let's see what we still need to do. I need to say, if you want to be a patron, just go to www.auwishbone.com and click on the giant orange Become a Patron button, and it'll have all the information. Like I say, I'm gonna update that in the next few days to more accurately reflect. It's not going to take anything away. It's just going to more accurately reflect the stuff that patrons get, because the vast majority of our patrons are AU Wishbone listeners. There are some that aren't, but most of them are. I think it's time now for our latest installment from Jared on the superhero segment. So let's hit it.
Hello, Van, John, and the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the Yard Sale Artist from the Longbox Crusade, with your Auburn University superhero battles. I certainly hope everyone out there has taken the time to enjoy the season, getting together with friends and family, and carving a turkey and celebrating
Liberty Hate Week 2018.
I know I did. This week, I'm going to do a Ladies' Choice Week for no reason at all. So this week, I'm going to say that Liberty came in there like the Black Widow. Not a lot of powers, but a lot of effort and a lot of gumption. Auburn came in there like the She-Hulk, which inexplicably has not made her way into the Marvel Cinematic Universe yet, because the She-Hulk is awesome. And while the tenacity of the Black Widow is to be respected, she just couldn't overcome the powers of the She-Hulk. So let's enjoy our end to
Liberty Hate Week 2018.
I hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving, and hats off to Pat DJ Christatos, who does the editing for this segment and takes care of our tiger and our eagle, which I think have both gotten out of their cages. Things are a little chaotic around here.
Oh, no.
War Eagle, everyone.
Oh, no. Oh. Jared may need some medical treatment after this episode. They done got loose.
How much are we spending on wild animal care?
I tell you, that's a big reason we need our Patreon, is to pay for the veterinary fees and now the medical bills for Jared after his critters have gotten loose. Appreciate Jared doing those all season. That's been a real extra bonus treat that he's just wanted to put those together for us. And I got to agree with him. She-Hulk is a great character. And I'm going to throw this out there to all you Marvel fans and to Jared in reply. Here's my little quick theory. I think She-Hulk has not been used yet, because she's a character that would work better on those Netflix shows like Luke Cage and Iron Fist and Daredevil, because she's kind of a more of a street level, you know, she's a lawyer and all that kind of stuff, which would fit in with those. But they'd need to do the CGI or all kind of makeup or whatever, and that would be prohibitively expensive. So I think she's too street level for the movies and too expensive to do for the TV show. That's my theory, so I'm sticking it out there. And that just came to me. All right, let's see. I guess it is time to push the aqua-colored button.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
And I say you.
All right, what we got?
First question is from Auburn Elvis.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to push this. Who are we playing this week?
Alabama.
The Vulgars are full of sound and fury, but believe me, they would not dare take things further.
I just had to get that in. There's your Poldark reference for this episode.
Did you keep the audio from the very end of the show last week when we were talking?
I can't remember.
Where I said it was going to be a podcast about Poldark and Auburn basketball?
I think maybe I did. I can't remember. Okay. Yeah, that was good. But yeah, if I didn't, John said that now our show was about Poldark and Auburn basketball. I say if it's about Alabama.
The Vulgars are full of sound and fury, but believe me, they would not dare take things further.
There you go.
All right. Auburn Elvis question.
All right.
He says, here's my question. Operation D-Day Auburn 2018 was a huge success this weekend, and a lot of folks within the D Ford entourage commented on how much they like the Auburn Wishbone live video show.
Oh, well, how awesome.
What discussions have you two had about doing another live show in 2019?
Well, the only discussions we've had were with Auburn Elvis in the vicinity, since he was pretty much the motivating force behind all that once we decided to do it.
We're not going to be able to pull it off without him again.
No. We could not do it without him. So if he's up for it, I'm certainly up for doing it again next year. Now, we looked at next year's schedule, and next year's home schedule is horrible for us to try to do it. But I think that, in fact, I think the only game next year that really lent itself at all was Georgia. But, I mean, you know, maybe. So
we'll figure it out.
Yeah. But we're up for it. I am. Are you?
100%. It was great.
Yeah, it was great. Okay.
All right. Next question is from Wardan Wade, who emailed us at auwishbone@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And he said, it was good to see our seniors off on a high note. Excuse me, before the probable beatdown of the Iron Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Looking past that, do you think Gus is self-aware enough to go out and get 2 to 3 offensive line grad transfers, an SEC-sized running back to complement Booby, and an offensive coordinator that will run or be allowed to run a more complicated pass and run game?
Oh, for a muse of fire.
I only dream of such things.
I do think some of that stuff is going to happen. I mean, I think they're going to go out and get a couple of JUCO grad transfer offensive linemen, and I think they're going to get another running back. But we have to get a bigger, more physical running back to complement these guys to get things done. So,
and
go ahead.
I was going to ask you, my question is, will Hugh Freeze be the offensive coordinator?
It's possible. I mean, we've talked about it. I don't think our current offensive coordinator will be back, so we're going to be looking for one. And Hugh Freeze is the hot name. We'll see who else is out there. It's definitely possible.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I think we have another question about this.
I have to ask you something. Who are we playing again this weekend?
Alabama.
Maybe poker is just not your game, Mike. I know. Let's have a spelling contest.
That fits too.
It does. I thought you were going to, at the end, we have to go Soviet national anthem.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm saving that one.
All right. The other thing that's out there is Kelly Bryant, the Clemson quarterback, is supposedly doing, he's now changed his schedule. He's going to do an official visit to Auburn. Mm-hmm. So as long as his coming doesn't, change Bo Nix's mind about signing with Auburn. Here's a question from Rad Dad, who says, in 2019, what is the best scenario? Stidham comes back for senior year, Kelly Bryant comes in for 1 year, or Bo Nix starts as a freshman year for Auburn?
Kelly Bryant. I feel like Bo needs – I don't want Bo out there as a true freshman getting killed. He needs a year to get acclimated, to bulk up a little bit, to get into the system, to adjust to whoever our offensive coordinator is. If we're sticking a true freshman out there as quarterback, that makes me a little nervous, even if as good as he is.
I get it. I understand it. There's two things. One is the world has changed.
Yeah.
And true freshmen aren't like they used to be.
You're right.
The Clemson quarterback was in high school last year.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence. And he's really good. And I think Bo Nix could do what he is doing. Fromm took Georgia to the title game last year as a true freshman.
Yeah.
So I think that Bo Nix could come in. And I'm not saying we have to put the whole offense on him. But I think he could come in and be a really good player. And also, I think Kelly Bryant – is going to be careful about coming to a place where that is even a possibility. Okay, he's not going to come unless he's basically guaranteed the job.
Right.
Well,
are we? And also, but can Bo do it in an offense that like we ran this year?
Well, I think we were assuming we're going to have a different offensive coordinator. I think there's going to have to be whoever the offensive coordinator is, whether it's Hugh Freeze or somebody else. There's going to be some changes. Hopefully some changes in the passing game. And I think,
yes, God,
I think he can. To me, the other thing about, like, I think Kelly Bryant in the traditional 2014 Gus offense would be very effective. Okay. But don't you think there's a little bit of a whiplash kind of thing when, like, if we play Kelly Bryant and we run, like, after the last 2 years, we go play Kelly Bryant and run that offense. And then we go back and try to run more of the, you know, kind of what we've been running the last 2 years with Bo Nix, like, but with better passing theoretically. Like, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kelly Bryant's an okay passer.
Yeah.
But I mean, how are all the receivers going to feel about that?
Yeah. I feel like when we have a good, when we have a 2013, 2014, 2017, honestly, 2016, when he wasn't, you know, when Petway wasn't hurt. When we have a running game like that operating, we can have a passing game like we have, and it's okay because the running game is so good, the passing game doesn't have to be great. When you have the running game we have this year, you need the passing game to be more than an add-on extra. You need it to be pretty much the featured part of the offense. And the passing game we have this year, it's kind of like if we bought a car and your main thing you're buying is this nice V8 engine hot rod, and then you add on air conditioning and power windows. Our passing game has like been power windows the last few years. This year it needs to be the engine, and it's just not. It's like we're out there with power windows and a spoiler and a bumper, but no engine, you know?
Sure.
So I wouldn't – I mean, honestly, if I were a good passing quarterback, I'm not sure I would even consider coming to Auburn right now. I know you got some receivers, but you don't use them in such a way that I would be able to show off my abilities.
That's fair. I do think that – the one thing I know is that if Kelly Bryant came with, you know, with Gus, with that offense, we would run the ball a lot better next year. We just would.
Yeah.
From day one. So, yeah. All right, we got a couple more questions here from Rusty Owen says, first of all, it was good to watch a football game and see Auburn firing on all cylinders. Too bad as against a first year FBS school, and maybe even angrier at Gus because the inconsistency on offense makes all games against good teams no better than a toss up.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what you were saying earlier. So I asked the question, money is no object, and there is any coach you could go after right now. For my money, I would probably go after Lincoln Riley of Oklahoma. What do you think?
Yeah, you couldn't really go wrong there, I don't think.
I mean, we're in the fantasy land here, not the realistic scenarios, okay? I mean, forget who's tied up in it. So you could hire anybody other than Nick Saban. Who are you going to hire?
Would you be interested in Dabo?
Yeah,
I don't understand how he's a good coach, but it's hard to argue with success.
He has, why he's a good coach? He's hired really smart people and stayed out of their way. And he's a really good recruiter. And he's also really good at the infrastructure thing, I think. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
the kind of building, develop, recruiting, but also kind of the behind the scenes organizational stuff. And I think he's, I think he's pretty smart about some of that stuff. I mean, at the beginning of his term there, he took a lot less money so he could spend more money to get better assistants.
Smart.
So him or Lincoln Riley be the two that I, if you could say like, you could hire anybody tomorrow. Like I don't want Urban Meyer.
Well, the best thing about hiring Dabo is that A, if it works out, you've got a coach that can go toe to toe with Saban and anybody else. B, even if it doesn't work out, you've just ruined him for Alabama. They will yes. never hire him after he's coached at Auburn. Never. Yes. And that would be worth it all.
Yeah. No, it would be worth it just to hire him like so that when Saban retires, they can't call him.
They can't, right. They'd have to go get – they'd try to get – what's his name from Georgia? Smart.
Kirby, but he's not going to go.
No, so.
You were talking about teams that could play with Alabama earlier. Oklahoma's offense is – better than Alabama's offense, and Oklahoma would score 40 on that Alabama team. I'm just telling you,
man,
that they would give up 60.
Yeah,
but. I don't know how much Oklahoma you've watched this year.
No.
Kyler Murray transferred from Texas A&M to play there, and he is so fun to watch. That offense is really fun.
But that's exactly what I'm talking about. I feel like Kyler Murray at Texas A&M is like how our quarterbacks the last couple of years, last 3 or 4 years have been at Auburn, which is I feel like honestly, if Stidham was in the Baylor offense 2 years ago now, he would be a number one NFL prospect. I hate it for him, and I really hate to say that. You know, it makes me sick to say that, but I just feel like at this point, we're kind of like, detrimental to some of these players, the way that we run things. I hate that. You know, because I've said before, my dream above all else is that we could be 2013 every year on offense. And it's just not going to happen. And so we're trying to do these other things, and I feel like we're just kind of – I don't want to go so far as some people – you know, some people say Gus keeps ruining quarterbacks and ruining receivers. And I don't want to go that far, but I do feel like they have a better chance to develop their abilities, just like what Kyler Murray's doing. He's having a better chance. He would not be doing this at Texas A&M.
No.
No. So, yeah, if you're fine with me.
I mean, there's three main jobs, okay? There's talent acquisition. So identifying the correct high school players to recruit and then successfully recruiting them,
mm-hmm.
talent development. So once they get here, you teach them how to play the game the right way, their position, and make them better. And then the third part is the in-game coaching part. And everybody wants to focus on the third part, but the other two parts matter just as much or more. And I think a lot of the Gus's problems are not so much about the third part, which we all want to scream and holler about, but about that second part. So, yeah. And that's the part that you're talking about.
Yep.
All right. Next question. Josh Corbett says, Gus isn't getting fired, and I see another 7-8 win season next year. Mm-hmm. We have questions everywhere on both sides of the ball, quarterback, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker. So my question is, where do we as Auburn fans go from here? And I think that's a good question. I think we'll have theoretically a new offensive coordinator after this season. Mm. I mean, maybe next week the search will start. We'll see.
Yep.
And I think we have to look at it as a chance, we got Bo Nix coming in, and I think he could be a real difference maker. I think he could be, an absolute monster stud quarterback for Auburn in the next few years. And so I think I'm going to ride with that and say, like, I think he could come in and be a difference maker at quarterback. And I'm not saying put the whole world on his shoulders, but I think, we got some other guys around him that can make plays if he can get them the ball, and I think he can do that. So,
It's an interesting question, and we'll see. I'm just looking forward to the inevitable bowl win over a lowly team, because this is the only time we win bowls in this current era, is when we end up in a crappy bowl against a really crappy team. And so we're going to end up 8-5 if that happens. And that'll, isn't that right? Yeah, and that'll equal our record for like two of the last, that'll be like our third time in the last 5 years to be 8-5, I think. So, yay. Woo. I mean, it's not horrible. It's not horrible. 8-5, you know.
Yep. Better. Our last question is from Jay Glover, who says, is Jarrett Harper A, amazing, B, incredible, C, ridiculous, or D, all of the above?
And I say you.
I mean.
Please clap.
He was amazing tonight. He absolutely was. This is going to be such a fun team to watch. And just think, we get Purifoy back soon.
Mm-hmm.
He's out, I think, 9 games, but we've already played, what, 4? So Duke will be 5, and then one more game in this tournament, at least 6. We only have like 3 more games to go, and we'll get him back. We'll have him back pretty much as soon as SEC starts.
Oh, yeah, we should.
That'd be awesome. Just more depth, you know.
I'm worried a little bit about
chemistry.
Like, you got to be careful with the chemistry, too much depth. But in tournaments like this, it's huge because we're going to have to play a lot of guys.
Yeah. And this is going to be a fun basketball season. As long as it doesn't end the way last year's did. That was frustrating.
It's going to be a fun season regardless of how it ends. We're going to have fun. We're going to win some games. We're going to beat a bunch of SEC teams. And we're going to kick the crud out of a bunch of SEC teams.
That means
enjoy every bit of that.
That means I'm going to get to look forward again, like I did last year, to those great like Wednesday nights when I come home from class, I'm all tired and cold, and I turn on the TV and watch us beat the snot out of Georgia and Mississippi State and Alabama and LSU, and it's just so nice. God, it's so nice.
Oh, that's coming.
Yep, 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 yep. That is. All right, I guess we should push the pink button.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
I must break you.
Well, we had the big Mississippi State beatdown of Arkansas. It would suck to have been an Arkansas fan this year. I mean, I know they're going through the growing pains, but good gosh, those were some growing pains.
Not good.
They just were not competitive at all for the most part. I mean, what they played one team, who they played last week was pretty close, but otherwise,
they actually got better in the second half. I just think it's like Mississippi State is, to me, I think they're the second best team in the West.
Yeah.
I think they. You know, they had a pretty good year, and, you know, they just took it out at Arkansas. So.
I got to say, Missouri 50 at Tennessee 17.
What the hell is the world coming to?
This is a Tennessee team that came to Auburn and scored 30. And they lost at home to Missouri.
Missouri's a legitimate top 25 team. They beat the crap out of Florida and Gainesville too. They're not terrible. They have a good quarterback and they're pretty good. This is the other one. You know what the other element of this game was? This was the Derek Dooley revenge game.
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And he got some too. And he was enduring all kinds of people criticizing him before the season, you know. That he was going to be a big flop, and they seem like they can score some points. I'm not sure how big of a flop he was. Ole Miss, you lost the Vanderbilt Bowl. I think this means you have to give up football.
It wasn't the best Saturday of college football, and no. Saturday night, this was the only competitive game, and I like turned it off and went and did something else rather than watch it. So.
I, by the way, that Maryland game against Ohio State, I got in a big Twitter slap fight with a guy that I should have unfollowed and blocked ages ago, but I didn't, and I regret it. because he thought I was incredibly stupid for saying this, but I'll say it again because I know I'm right. Don't go for two unless you have to. I know that goes against the received wisdom of the football gods, and I've been called names for it. Don't go for two unless you have to. It's just dumb, okay? Just don't do it.
Let's remember that this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure that when we score, well, I've always said, I'll know I went to heaven when Auburn goes for two after scoring a touchdown at the last second to beat Alabama 100-0. And then you go for two. Texas A&M beat UAB, but you know, UAB gave them a fight and they hung in there. And you know, there were some fantasies that maybe UAB could pull it out, but that wasn't going to happen. But you know, hey, I mean, what do you think of their coach?
People like him, and he did a really good job building that team up from nothing. They're solid. Their defense is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Just offensively, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't run the ball in A&M at all. So.
Yeah. Let's see. Alabama, we talked about the Citadel game. Oh, as Jared called it, Gators versus Taters. That was great. Florida beat Idaho. Florida wrapped Idaho in aluminum foil and baked them at 450 degrees for 3 hours and 30 minutes, 63-10.
Little bacon bits on top.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And once they were done, Idaho was described by Florida as delicious. South Carolina beat Tennessee Chattanooga 49-9, and LSU boiled the rice 42-10. So you had lots of starch in the SEC this week. You had Idaho and you had rice, the potatoes and the rice. So you could go either way with your starts, John. You didn't have to go one or the other. You could kind of, you had your some potatoes. This is a good pre-Thanksgiving show too, topic too, right? So you could say that Florida beat the potatoes, LSU boiled the rice, and South Carolina beat the stuffing out of Tennessee Chattanooga. See? See, there you go.
I like it.
There you go. And that was the chickens. All right, so coming up real quick, and we'll be done for tonight and for this week, Mississippi State, the Egg Bowl on Thursday, Thanksgiving. That's one of my favorite parts of Thanksgiving is the Egg Bowl. And you know at the Egg Bowl, the team that's not supposed to win always wins. And so I've got two this week, but I'm going to go ahead and break out. Oh, man, I can't ever find this. Well, there it is. It's only bright yellow on here. I'm going to go ahead and break out for Ole Miss.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
It's crazy, and yet it always seems to happen. The underdog always wins this game. The underdog is always supposed to win the Iron Bowl and hardly ever does, but they always do the Egg Bowl. Do you have any thoughts on that when you used to live in Mississippi?
No, I mean, it's a bitter rivalry, and you're right. The underdog team does win a lot. So in that case, that'd be Ole Miss this year. So yep. And they're at home. They're good offensively. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see. I think Mississippi State's a much better team, though. So I don't know.
Arkansas at Missouri. Now, we know that Arkansas plays LSU in the Battle of the Golden Boot. So now they're and that's usually at the end of the year. But now they've changed around and have Arkansas playing Missouri. And I'm wondering if this is just taking the leg further up, you know, maybe this is the battle of the silver shin.
The golden knee brace.
Knee brace, yeah, the golden knee brace. It is. It's the battle of the golden knee brace. I like that. I would say silver shin, but that sounds like a hotel and casino. We've got Florida at Florida State. This is my other.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
I see the Gators getting some revenge on Florida State, the unhapless Florida State. Do you agree?
Well, and this is big because Florida State, if Florida State wins, they go to a bowl game.
Oh.
And they have like the 30-year streak of going to bowl games every year. So if Florida can beat them in Tallahassee, they will keep Florida State from going to bowl games. So I'm all in cheering for stupid Dan Mullen this week.
Florida says,
I must break you.
That's right. I must break you. Georgia at Tech. Who cares? Don't care. Go ahead.
Tech's a little frisky. Their offense is not terrible. So
I would love to see.
I think they'll hang around.
I would love to see Tech beat Georgia and then Georgia beat Alabama. That would be so nice. A circular firing squad is what I like to see in those games. Tennessee at Vanderbilt. Winner goes to a bowl. Loser gives up football. No. we'll see. I actually like Vanderbilt there. I had Tennessee on my way up. Now I got them on the way down. South Carolina at Clemson. It would be nice to see the upset there, but we need Clemson strong and tough because we need somebody to be a challenge to Alabama.
There is no chance South Carolina beats them.
Kentucky at Louisville. It's really that the luster's come off of this. I hope Kentucky can close out strong. I do. You know, I got a good.
And Rule's already fired their coach. Kentucky ought to beat the crud out of them.
They ought to, yeah. But so would Maryland, and see what they did. And then LSU at Texas A&M. That's becoming interesting. Doesn't LSU win every year, regardless?
Yeah, A&M has never beaten them since they joined the SEC.
God, that's just inexcusable. How do you even do that?
That's why they paid that guy a bunch of money to come here and try and turn that stuff around. So.
Even the year A&M beat Alabama, they turn around and lose to LSU. Oh, gosh. Good grief. All righty. Well, I think that gets us to the end. And this was we'll be back. Let's see. We'll be back next week for our post Iron Bowl autopsy show. And then I think the following week I will go ahead and air We Believed episode 1 in our regular time spot. So you and I can get a week off, but the vast majority of folks that aren't patrons will get a chance to hear episode 1 that week. And then we will come back after that probably with our bowl preview or something like that.
Works for me.
Sound good? All right. Any last thoughts before we wrap up?
I hate Alabama, and I'm going to cheer my keck against them on Saturday.
Beat Bama, beat Bama, beat Bama. Amen. All right, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
Becomes of you, my love, when they have finally stripped you off the handbags and the glad rags that your granddad had to sweat so you could buy.
All right. Very good. All right. Well,
so beat Alabama and beat Duke.
Oh, it's going to be an interesting week. Two number one teams. We'll see. All right. Have a good night. Go to bed.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.